Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Big game tomorrow, Penn State, Michigan, here at Beaver Stadium. And it's time to tailgate. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, drink snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Bob Nightingale in a moment. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day. Giannis Antetokounmpo scores 54 in a losing cause against the Indiana Pacers.
And another and one.
They got Madden on Giannis.
And if Hayes goes inside, left it short. Giannis got the rebound. Plenty of Pacers there. Giannis takes it.
54 for Giannis last night. In a losing cause, by the way, against the Pacers, who are playing very well. All right, let's talk some baseball. Great to bring in Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, first of all, how have you been?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, so I remember we had a conversation earlier, and that you were talking at the All-Star break about the fact that some of the higher salary teams were struggling and some of the lower salary teams were doing well, and they ended up being concerned about it. In the end, Texas is a team that spent some money the last couple of years, whether it was Seager or people forget Jacob, they acquired Jacob DeGrom. I mean, they acquired some cash along the way. Is that now helping to bolster the Players Association idea?
Well, it did. I mean, they were still below a $200 million payroll, but they dropped, $500 million on the free agents with the, Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. And it was better than the Diamondbacks win the World Series with about a $100 million payroll. And their most expensive guy was Madison Bumgarner, who was released in May. I think that helped the cause for agents to say, if you spend money, you're going to win.
All right. So that means one of the more important press conferences is when Scott Boras sits down with everybody. What was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, I mean, he obviously campaigning for his guy. He's got about six of the top 10 guys. He doesn't have Ohtani, doesn't have Yamamoto. But, he has a Blake Snell, has a Jordan Montgomery, Cody Bellinger, that sort of thing. So, his thing was, hey, the Texas Rangers, plan worked. Of course, he had, I think he had seven Rangers on that team. And he liked to have the pitch clock. It was interesting. Pitch clock go up as the innings mounted. So if you pitch three innings, all of a sudden you get an extra second on the pitch clock. 2 seconds. So you went to six innings, you get to 20 seconds. He thinks that was a cause of injuries. I don't know. I haven't heard any team or any pitcher say that was a cause. The one thing he's brought up, and he brought up once again, was a neutral site World Series. Now he says just a neutral site for all games. I don't think that would fly. But in the past, he says, how about the first two games are in a neutral site? That way you can have all the award winners. You can have celebrities show up and things like that. And there is something to that. I mean, when you're at the Super Bowl, you see all the NFL players and celebrities at it. When you're in a World Series, I kind of on one hand, the amount of current players I see at a game.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, and I see where he's coming from with it. But the Super Bowl is a game, and the atmosphere at a Super Bowl is rather neutral. The atmosphere at a World Series game is not. And that part, personally, that's the part I enjoy, the fact the fans are so into it.
Yeah, no, they get into it, and they more regular fans and corporate fans like you get at the Super Bowl. I've been number of Super Bowls as a fan. And the interesting with the World Series now, or even playoffs for that matter, it just there's really hardly any home field advantage. Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at a team like a Houston Astros. You know, once again, lost all four at home, won all three on the road. You know, just like in 2019 World Series. You know, Texas was ended up at what 11-0, 12-0 on the road. It's amazing how some of these teams are better off on the road, just blocking out all the actions.
What about the move of Craig Counsell going from the Brewers to the Cubs and David Ross being out in Chicago? What was your thought on that interesting move?
Well, first, it was, a complete, shocker that would happen since he already had a manager. Dicey thing. I mean, for Counsell, it's a win-win. He gets all the money he wants. And pretty much he home, live at home. I mean, it's only 90 miles away. So I'm sure he'll get a, condo in Wrigleyville or Chicago. But be home a lot. The one thing it does, and a lot of the managers upset with this, he took someone's job. There were five job openings. You didn't have to take someone else's job. So, that's going to cause a rift. Even the two GMs have yet to talk. I can't imagine Counsell and David Ross ever speaking again.
No, I can't imagine either. And not only that, a lot of managerial jobs, it seems more and more are going to younger people. The Angels didn't do that. Rob Washington is 71 years old. He's been to the World Series twice as a manager. What was your thought on the Angels turning to him?
I was thrilled by that. I know the Perry Manasian had talked about that. And I said, man, I'd love to see you guys do it. There's a couple off-the-field things that hurt Washington as far as not getting a job back. But the funny thing was, so the GM meetings are in Phoenix, and so went out to dinner with a few people one night, and they're trying to keep it secret, and there's one in Washington, Perry Manasian, standing outside waiting for their table. And I've known both of them forever, particularly Wash, and I said, Perry, if you'll hire this man, I'll buy you guys dinner right now. He goes, I'm trying. I owe Perry Manasian dinner.
Obviously, people will have issues along the way, and Ron's have been talked about. What is it about the quality of the man that, in the end, brings such confidence from the players and those who are around him?
Yeah, just a baseball lifer. I mean, here's at 71. You go to those Atlanta games. I mean, he's in the dugout at 1 o'clock, 1:30, working with the infielders. Every single infielder took infield practice with him, and he used to always talk all the time how valuable it is, for players to play at the post. He hates when players play at 1:30 and taking the game off, one day a week. He says, go play. And you look at those Atlanta teams, all those guys always play every day. Marcus Semien, who he had in Oakland, played 179 games this year, the most plate appearances by anybody in baseball history. So hopefully he jumps on those guys and makes sure, guys like Anthony Rendon, a guy like Mike Trout, start playing a lot more.
What's interesting is that the Minnesota Twins, they finally went around, and then in the next round they did win a game. So they did things that they hadn't done in a long time. Yet, as you wrote 2 days ago, they're looking to reduce payroll. How interesting did you find that to be, and why are they doing it?
Well, their ticket sales weren't high, so it wasn't that big boost in attendance. I think they're just being honest. I think there's a whole lot of teams that are thinking about, hey, we may reduce payroll here. And the one thing, in their situation is they don't have a TV contract. They lost, the Valley Sports. That was about $60, $70 million a year. It's gone away. I mean, they'll recoup some, MLB doing their games. But that's a big financial hit. And there could be like 10 or 11 teams that don't have a TV contract, for next year, including San Diego. San Diego is dropping theirs down by $50 million. So I think it's going to be a little bit more widespread than we think.
So I wanted to bring that up. The regional sports networks were thought to be, years ago, the savior financially for franchises. And then suddenly this comes up. How taken aback are the teams by how the regional sports network part has played out? And what are some of the adjustments you're starting to see now because of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of, you know, nervousness. I mean, now you got to go back and sell, you know, all the ads yourself for TV. You know, how's it going to be distributed? Baseball's going to, you know, help, but they're not guaranteeing 80% like they did a year ago. They're not guaranteeing anything. So, no, it's more of a shaky environment, and we've been, you know, people have talked about this in history for years. Just people, you know, don't want the cable TV. They don't want to pay for the thing. They just want to pay for, you know, the individual channels they watch. So that's a real concern, you know. And teams like the, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, you know, the Dodgers, you know, may not like bandits with their moves because, you know, it's their own network and they got a jump start before everybody else. So here's the Dodgers, you know, their contract was, I think it was $8.3 billion over 25 mm-hmm. years.
Yep.
And, you know, nobody in the division is even close that kind of money.
Everybody around here, of course, always wants to know about the Phillies. What do you think the Phillies might be leaning toward in this off season to then bolster themselves so they can not only get back to a World Series like they were a year ago, but this time win it?
Well, at least they made a decision on, you know, Bryce Harper. Excuse me, he should be playing all season long now at first base. You know, you need their starting pitcher. I don't think Aaron, I might be the minority, I don't think Aaron Nolan's coming back. I think he's going to come back. You would have already signed him. They have had a year to do so. He was just okay during the regular season, better than the postseason. I keep hearing Blake Snell's name all the time. I'm not sure how Blake Snell could handle the Philadelphia market. That would be my concern with him. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to still spend money. They're still going to be, you know, out to win it. And, you know, they should be back in the playoffs. They just stopped hitting. I think they made a mistake. I covered that series when they came to Phoenix. They were up, you know, 2-0. Came to Phoenix, blew in on the off day, came to work out, but did not take batting practice. The next day, did not take batting practice. All of a sudden, you know, they weren't the same team hitting-wise. Those bats got cold in a hurry.
Yeah, they sure did. All right, the Yankees will be an intriguing offseason story. So what, you know, what are some of the things that we should be looking at to read the tea leaves with Brian Cashman as to what he needs to do?
Well, I think next year's a big year for Cashman and certainly for Aaron Boone to win. You know, at least you got to get back in the playoffs again. You know, got to go get another starting pitcher for sure. I don't see them involved in Ohtani sweepstakes. I mean, you know, Ohtani came and pitched for at least a year, maybe 2 years before he pitches again. But I think just say they got to bring at least one big star, you know, at least one another big star pitcher, fortify that bullpen. And I think they need a center fielder, too. I mean, a guy like Kevin Kiermaier, who's out there, you get him for a cheap contract, I think it'd be a hot commodity among, you know, both New York teams and, you know, a number of others as well.
And he is a defensive whiz. Man, what an outfielder he is. I'll leave you on this one.
Fred
Breslow takes
over.
I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, great in the clubhouse, great in community. He's got, you know, he's got the total package.
Yeah. Greg Breslow takes over running the Red Sox. They were anywhere from whatever ranking you see, 13 to 15 in payroll. You and I both know that's not the Red Sox MO. Do you see them spending more money this offseason?
I do. I think the fans were kind of discussing what happened. I think they'll trade Verdugo. I don't see Verdugo being back. I think they got to bring a star in there. They'll go after Ohtani. I think, you know, the new balance is out of Boston. They'll go hard after him. I don't think he'll go there. But I do think they got to bring in, you know, one big marquee name for sure. You know, no matter if it, you know, if it's a Bellinger, whether it's a Nola. You know, some, you know, a Yamamoto, something like that. But I'd be shocked if they don't spend, you know, $150-$200 million on one free agent.
I apologize. This will be my last question. Shohei Ohtani. Okay, I do have to ask about him. All right. So it's interesting. He can't pitch next year, right? Because of Tommy John, but he sure can hit. So where, you know, what will the competition be like? Where do you expect the competition to be for him?
I mean, I think you'll have 10, 12 teams bidding for him just because of brand, nothing else. I mean, you know, he's worth at least like, I mean, worth at least $25 million a year, just off-field endorsements, licensing, you know, merchandise sales. Who knows when he pitch again? Some GMs don't think he'll, you know, think he may not never pitch again. We'll see. Last time he had Tommy John surgery, he missed 2 years. And that was 5 years ago. Yeah. So there's no guarantee he'll be back in 2025, certainly not by opening day. But I think the Dodgers are the favorites, you know, being right there in Southern California. They always win. I think the Angels are still right there. I think the Angels thought they had no chance. They would have traded him, but they believe there's a chance. I think San Francisco may offer the most money. They really need help at the ticket window. Just, you know, ever since the pandemic, you know, downtown has kind of become a ghost town there. You know, all the office buildings are shut down, or a lot of the office buildings are shut down. And you know, Seattle will be involved, San Diego will be involved. A lot of people think the Cubs are the dark horse. I can't see him pitching that weather. Texas, to me, would make sense if he goes outside California.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your valuable time. And love talking baseball with you. Thanks, Bob.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care, Steve.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Great to have him on the show today. King in the final half hour. So tonight here, you have women's soccer opening round NCAA tournament. That will be at 6 at Jeffrey Field, Penn State, Central Connecticut State. Penn State's a 2-seed. Women's basketball at 5 tonight. And then Penn State Lehigh and men's basketball at 7:30. Let's see. I'm trying to think. What the heck is tomorrow? Oh, so Penn State, Michigan. All right. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to be great to have you with us, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. All right. So, Penn State, Michigan tomorrow. I mean, we've gone through what Michigan does. I mean, they use a lot of motion on offense. I mean, they're not only just trying to get a read on what your coverage might be, but they're also trying to get you moving around before they run a play. It's just fine. They can run a reverse. Quorum, obviously, Donovan Edwards, they put him in different spots. They use Bredesen as a fullback. They use him as an H-back. They'll bring him in motion. Loveland's a heck of a tight end. Loveland's really good. Just like Cade Stover of Ohio State. Just like Tyler Warren and Theo Johnson of Penn State. Just really good tight ends. It's create mismatches. And they can block. So it makes a great tight end. So I brought it up, talked about it last night on the show. And I think this is going to be fun game that gets into the fourth quarter, and we're going to find out in the end. I mean, this will be one of those games in the end. You're going to find out who's better. They're both really good. Let's bottom line it. I mean, Michigan's got talent. Penn State's got talent. So let her fly. Let's see what we got. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. It's time to start stocking up for that tailgate. Big game tomorrow, Penn State, Michigan. You want to make sure you're fully stocked, ready to go, and there's only one place to do that, and that is Brewers Outlet. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. So whether you're going to watch the big weekend of football at home, college NFL, or if you're going to be going to the game tomorrow, stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And call him back. He says nobody's answering the phone, the king. So when the phone rings, answer it. It's the king. Come on. All right, we'll get him on the air here in a few moments. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Got a lot of great games to look at this weekend, too. But by the way, just before we get to that, the NFL. I went very quick on the NFL schedule here. I didn't mention this earlier. Let's see. You got Steelers, Packers, Sunday at 1, Giants, Cowboys, 4:25, Colts, Patriots. That's 9:30 in the morning in Frankfurt. I'm sure at Frankfurt, the lines are long to see the Colts and the Patriots. I have to remind everybody there that Brady and Manning aren't playing anymore. Okay. And Texans, Bengals, Titans, Bucks, Browns, Ravens, Niners, Jaguars, Saints, Vikings, Falcons, Cardinals, Lions, Chargers, Commanders, Seahawks, and the Jets and Raiders. Jets and Raiders. The Sunday night game. You know what that just screams to me? Let's watch Mission Impossible 7. I finally had it delivered to me about a week ago. I haven't watched it yet. I think that's instead of Sunday night football, we're going to do that. Bills and Broncos, by the way, will be the Monday night game. Thursday night game, by the way, next week is Ravens and Bengals. Okay, here we go. The King is on the line. King, welcome.
Hey, brother. What up?
Going on?
No, just got off the phone with Steve Roy. Well, that's good.
Good.
So what's the, how's the team look?
Well, it's a good week. I'm going to go to the last one here in less than an hour. And then I have a basketball game tonight.
How do they look?
Good start. They won the opener. They were expected to win the opener big. They did. That's a good start. I mean, it's a marathon in basketball. You know, you're talking 30-plus games. So you take it, you know.
Did they well in the transfer portal?
Well, they had to. They had no choice. Because with the change in coaches, They needed to bring, they ended up bringing in 9 transfers plus a freshman. And the starting lineup featured 4 transfers and 1 holdover. And it turned out that 2 of the holdovers, Kanye Clary and Jameel Brown, scored 22 and 20. So they got 42 of the points from the, quote, old guys.
Wow.
So that, that helped the cause. That helped the cause.
What do you think about it? I mean, I know they win. Would you prefer was the old way where bring them in as freshmen and build them into? Like this new way?
No, I mean, I would prefer you bring them in as freshmen. They stay 4 years, but that's, you know, you develop your own team. Yeah, but that's never going to happen again. And so in this business, the key word is that you have to adapt. Just because I would prefer it one way, well, guess what? I'll roll with the punches. All right. Now, I like the way the fact that the Penn State coaches want to do it. James Franklin wants to be selective in who transfers in and wants to build from his recruiting base. And really, let's face it, Ohio State and Michigan are both the same way. They want to do it the same way. They don't want to do it wholesale. They want to bring in, get as many 3 to 5 year players as possible. And I always say 3 to 5 because of the NFL draft. I mean, let's face it, Marvin Harrison's not coming back for a 4th year. You know, you want to get as many 3 to 5 year players as possible, develop them yourself. You're recruiting high level guys to begin with. And then whatever you're missing. All right. So Penn State needed a wide receiver. Yeah. They bring him in. So, you know. They needed a corner, they got Johnny Dixon. They needed a defensive end, they got Chop Robinson. They needed a wide receiver, they got Dante Cephas. Michigan needed offensive linemen. So their center and their tackle that are starting for them, one's from Stanford, one's from Arizona State. Everybody else.
I think that, to me, is the biggest thing in the portal, is getting those interior guys. Someone you know who can walk and you know who can pass protect and bring them in. Mm-hmm. Bring them right in, but UConn's a good example where the portal helped them turn the program around, and then they fell on their face again.
Yeah,
they got 59-3 last week, and this was supposed to be he brought in more players and all that. And it's just it backfired on them.
Yeah.
They can barely compete and. That you know, I'm just bringing them up because there's somebody who definitely used the portal to rebuild the system, and it didn't work.
They're
worse than they were last year.
So. Right, and so, I mean, and that happens. In this case, Penn State really had no choice. I mean, they had an older team to begin with last year, so you're going to naturally lose guys. They ended up getting two drafted. I mean, Jalen Pickett was drafted by the Denver Nuggets and Seth Lundy by the Atlanta Hawks. Andrew Funk signed with the Nuggets and now is in the G League for the Nuggets. You know, and a couple of the other older players went over and played in Europe. And then one transferred to Ohio State, one transferred to Notre Dame, and the entire recruiting class ended up going to Notre Dame.
UConn's basketball team last year, I'm sure they didn't talk. They weren't on the team the year before, and then 9 transfers, and they won the national championship. You know, it's not like the coach developed them for 4 years, and they've got to take a little bit of steam out of it, you know, that, wow, when we were freshmen, we were this and that. Well, it's not like that now. It's like each year you're going to bring in a new group of guys, and you got to coach them to win. It's a different game now.
Right. Now, Penn State just signed 3 players in the early signing period because that's how Mike wants to build the team. Mike doesn't mind bringing in a select transfer. For example, at VCU last year, they needed a shooter. And one of the better shooters happened to be a kid from the University of Hartford. Well, and we all know what happened with Hartford's program. So, I mean, you know, this kid needed a spot to play. Well, he really helped them out last year, and that's a big plus. But that's kind of selective. And I think selective works great because I think it works great for the kid and it works great for the program because I think it's important to have, you know, that word culture. Well, you're bringing in everybody from cultures all over the place. So what is your culture? And I think, you know, it's the established players that establish what the culture happens to be. And you can only do that if you have a core group of them.
Yeah, for sure, because you're going to be able to work together. I mean,
I think we may need to have you call back. So why don't you call? We'll take a break. You call back, see if we can get a better signal. And we'll come back we'll come back with picks in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, here we go. Time for some picks as we hit the stretch run of the show.
Can you hear me better?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, sorry. I have to sit in the shop sometimes with the welding going on. It messes up the cell phone.
That's okay. That happens. Do we have last week's results?
Yes, we do. You were 4-5, and I was 5-4. I'm winning.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we were starting all over again.
You're in the lead.
I am winning, man.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's go with this week's games.
Am I calling them? You?
Yeah, go ahead. You got them?
Let's start with the NFL first.
Sure.
New Orleans at Minnesota.
This is your buzz. I think at some point not having Kirk Cousins catches up to him, I'll take New Orleans on the road.
I got Minnesota because they're at home.
Yeah, okay.
Green Bay at Pittsburgh.
There is no way in the face of the earth I can figure out how the Steelers are winning. I watch the games, I sit there and go, really? They won? So what the heck? Let's just jump on the bandwagon. Pittsburgh.
I'm with you. I think Pittsburgh, I absolutely love their coach. So he brings out the best in his players, no matter who he has.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots have fallen on their face, you know. But he has a way of getting his team to play for him.
Yeah, he does it.
They play hard. I got Pittsburgh.
Yep.
San Francisco at Jacksonville. Great game.
Look, the 49ers should be so much better than this. Now, Chase Young is going to play. I'll ride San Francisco one more week, even though I think Jacksonville's really good. I'll go with the Niners.
Yeah, I took Jacksonville. There's something wrong with the Niners.
Yeah.
And I think it starts at the quarterback position.
Me too.
The problem with the young players, and this happened to Mac Jones with the Patriots, is now they have a lot of film on these guys. And they make them do what they don't want to do.
Yeah.
Or what they're not good at. And the great quarterbacks can overcome that and get better at that. And I just think he's young and he hasn't overcome that yet. So.
Meanwhile, Trevor Lawrence is really good. So, I mean, that's the first overall pick versus a last pick.
Sixth round. Yeah.
Yep.
And he's good. Purdy's great. He's going to have a great career, but he's got to make that next step now.
He's slumping.
They're making him do things he's not comfortable with because of the NFL, and he'll overcome that. He's good. This is for you and for me, because we're going to go back in the tape and say you will never, ever take Dallas over the New York Giants. So New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys.
Giants.
No way. Are you really taking them?
Absolutely. Why not? What do I have to lose?
They're going to call the game at 60. I got the Cowboys.
I know the Cowboys are going to win, but I'm sorry.
I know. Well, you take Dallas if you want.
Nope. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with Brian. We're good.
Yep. What round was the Giants quarterback taking it? Or is he a walk-up?
Oh, jeez. I mean, he was a free agent signing. He started at Syracuse, went to Illinois. It's like, I have no words.
He should do well.
I have no words. No words.
He's going to be running from number 11 all day.
Oh, Mike is going to be all over him.
Yeah. Okay, and great game, Detroit at the Chargers.
I'm going to go with Detroit. I just like, I'm on the Lions bandwagon.
Yeah, I like Detroit too, and I again, another head coach that I really like.
Yep.
So I got the Lions. Okay, NCAA. The powerhouse Tennessee that destroyed my UConn Huskies. Mm. Number 14, Tennessee, at number 16, Missouri.
Missouri.
I'm gonna take a chance and take Tennessee.
There you go.
Number 13, Utah, at number 5, Washington.
Washington is really, really good. I really like Utah's football team a lot, but Washington is a really good team. Washington.
Yeah, I agree. I watched them play a couple times. They're really, really good. Yep. Well coached. So we both got Washington.
Yeah.
Number 10, Mississippi, at number 1, Georgia. And I'm only picked this game again because Georgia starts off slow. One of these times, they're going to get caught.
Mississippi's one of those teams that can't seem to get over the hump. I think Georgia wins, especially at home.
Agreed. I got
the game
Georgia.
Were in Oxford. The game were in Oxford, I might go with Ole Miss, but I'm going to say Georgia.
Well, like Matt said, you got to take Georgia until someone beats them.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
And they're there every week, but it's going to be a good football game.
Yep.
Then, been a long time since this was a rivalry. Duke at number 24, North Carolina.
Both are struggling a bit right now. I'm going to go with North Carolina at home, and also because Drake May, a quarterback, I think is the difference maker.
I'm gonna say that Duke is going to turn it around. I'll take Duke.
All right.
And it's really a home game for both of them.
So. Yeah. They're eight miles apart.
Yeah. And the final one, I want to throw a Big Ten game in there, and one that looked kind of interesting to me, is Rutgers at Iowa.
Over under is 28.5. Rutgers is really good. I mean, actually, Rutgers is very good. They run the ball well. And their quarterback can run, but I'm not going to go against Iowa and that defense at home.
I'm going to take Rutgers.
Hey, good pick. I tell you, Rutgers.
Yeah, I watched them play. Rutgers. They play good. They're very well coached.
Yep.
And
Greg does a good job.
A lot of NFL players come out of Rutgers, especially defensive backs. So
yep.
We'll see. Guy's a good football coach. He's been long time.
Yeah, Greg was here as the defensive backfield coach at one point, so yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. He's a good guy because I used to listen to Imus in the morning, and he used to be on the show a lot. So.
Yeah. No, like Greg a lot, Tennessee made a big mistake not hiring him.
Yeah.
So.
And he seems happy at Rutgers.
It's his second go-around there. First time they won the Big East. So, hey, have a great weekend.
Good luck. Be
rooting
hard for you. You got to win.
Appreciate that.
This is the biggest game they played in a long, long time. This is Coach Franklin needs it. So.
Yep. All right.
We'll be rooting hard.
Thanks. The King, everybody. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the tailgate, stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. And from the Sunbury Motors Studio, thanks for joining us all week long. Back on Monday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.